listening to the Tell It Like It T.I. Is Show. So we're back, and when I say we, I mean me and my special co-host. I got some good feedback that me and her vibe together on the last episode that we did together. So we're gonna rock like that for the rest of the ride. But go ahead and reintroduce yourself.
Hello, hello, hello. This is your girl Keita coming back on the ones and twos to give y'all all of this goody good goodness. But really, thank you for having me back. It feels good. You know you have to bring me back. I'm awesome. Duh. Took you long enough.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know you just got back from your vacation, so give me all the details. What happened? Who'd you meet? What's his name?
Oh my goodness. Cut that part out. I just came back from a much needed 6-day trip. I went to the Bahamas, went to Nassau, and I went to Half Moon Cay. Mm-hmm. And it was love. It was very relaxing. The weather was perfect and it was very interesting. And as far as who I met, okay, so I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise or any type of resort, but they tell you to beware of people with pineapples.
Ooh, I never
Do you
heard
know
that.
why?
Why?
Okay, well, people who wear pineapples or hang up pineapples on their door or whatever, that's the invitation to let you know that they are swingers.
Ooh.
So they're trying to get all the other swingers to know who, you know, who's swinging, so they know who to interact with on that level.
Mm-hmm.
So I make sure I make myself aware of all the pineapples so I can go the opposite direction.
I never
right?
knew that.
So
I've been on one cruise when I didn't see a pineapple, but now I'm gonna go on more cruises. I want to see this.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you, it's the thing. It's not just on cruises; it's on doing at different resorts. It's just even just around the town. If you see people rocking, you know, pineapples, whether it's on a print, on an outfit, earrings dangling, like whatever, right?
Wow.
So, I was in the dining room and having dinner. It was elegant night, right? So you're dressed in all of your finest clothes and all that stuff like that,
right?
And so this couple, well, the woman is a couple who was sitting across from me. The woman, she came up to me like middle of dinner and she was just like, "I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but I just had to tell you, I can't stop looking at you. Like, you are absolutely gorgeous. Like you're so beautiful. I just can't." She's like, "Well, actually, we can't stop looking at you. Me and my husband, we notice you."
Wow.
And everything. And she was like, "And my husband wanted me to tell you that you are rocking the hell out of that dress." And then I looked over at him. He's giving me the fist bump. And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, you are." And I'm just like, "Okay, thank you." But it made me super uncomfortable. And the other people at my table, they were trying to not laugh so hard because we were literally just talking about the pineapple people.
Wow. That's crazy.
Right. And so I think they wanted me to join their, you know, couple and become a thruple or maybe just, you know, some cruise fun. But I, you know, politely, you know, thank you for the compliment and kept my distance the rest of the cruise because, no, to each
that
his
is
own. I don't
crazy.
knock what you do. But yeah.
That is crazy. So you go from getting penis pictures to swinging invites. Man, you are the real MVP.
Shut up.
You are the real MVP, man. That's crazy.
But it made it very awkward because, like, every time at dinner, they're like, I catch them staring at me and I'm like keeping my head down. I'm like turning to look, you know, a different direction, try to avoid eye contact at all costs because I don't want you to get any ideas at all that I'm interested in what y'all dishing out.
Right. That's crazy, man. Ask my mother if she ever seen people with pineapples on their door when she be going on the cruises because, you know, she diamond level. She top tier, but
Oh, she platinum
is
or
that
diamond.
yeah,
I think it's diamond.
whichever one is the highest, that's what she is.
Yeah.
You go on like five cruises a year.
See, now she's the true MVP, because that's what I'm talking about.
And I ain't nobody ever walked up to my mom and talking about me and my husband been looking at you. Nah,
Well, if
she
they
ain't came
did,
back
she
with this
may not have
story yet.
told you, though.
You right. You right. And I don't want to hear that coming from my mama anyway.
Yeah,
That's just
exactly.
awkward. Yeah, I ain't got time for
Yes.
that. Oh man.
But other than that, it was great. Met some real cool people, and took advantage of drink package. So yeah, had a very good time.
That's what's up. I'm gonna live my life through you. Like, just tell me how I was on your vacation, because I'm probably not gonna go. I'm
You know
probably
what?
not gonna
I'm gonna
go at
get you
all.
out there one day.
That's what my mother keep telling me. Everybody be trying to get me out of the house. I just like the house. I
We're
like
gonna
the
get you
house, and
out.
I like solid ground under my feet.
That the wood is solid. That's on the ship that you walk on.
Yeah, that boat is on water.
Is not a boat. It is a ship. So you.
That's a big ass boat. I don't care what nobody say. Oh man. All right. Well, I'm glad you back, made it back safely and everything. As we were discussing offline, today's topic is gonna be about trauma, like physical, mental trauma. And also, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So we'll talk about pretty much how is your mental health right now, and I'll talk about my mental health, but ladies first.
You're so kind. Oh.
No, right?
Well, when it comes to my mental health, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give me about a 7 right now. Before I went on my vacation, it was low. It was probably about at a good 3, because I did have some past trauma that. Something triggered some past trauma that I had, and so it really put me in a very low place. So the fact that I was able to get out and take that mental health break and go on vacation, it was able to help, rejuvenate me and help get my mental health back in balance, like being able to just be at peace, not have to worry about work or outside drama. I could shut the outside world off and, be able to just clear my mind and relax. So that was a much needed thing, because whew, it was rough for a minute. It really was.
I
What about
feel
you?
you.
Where you at on a
My
scale of 1 to 10?
mental health, and I ain't gonna lie to you, my mental health is like a 6.57 all the time, and that's because I take medication. So if it wasn't for my medication, I'd be down there. Because I don't know. I was like, I'm like the worst critic of myself, and I just think that I don't deserve a lot, and I'm always messing something up. And then I take the failures from my life and just want to throw those in there as evidence. And I'm in a courtroom, and I'm my own prosecutor. So it's kind of crazy, but I'm trying to get it up there. I'm trying to get it better.
Okay. Now, other than medication, what are the things have you like tried to implement to help increase your mental health?
I tried therapy. I tried a couple of different therapies, like with the VA. I did the talking one-to-one, tried the group therapy, and I don't know. I think it's like this with it. Well, it's like this with me. I can sit in a circle and listen to everybody's problem, and then I just throw my problems to the side and want to help them with their problems. And it's crazy. Prime example. This was 2012. Yeah, it was 2012. And I had a break. I had one of those breakdowns, and I was like suicidal, homicidal at the same time. So I'm driving to work, and I'm thinking either I'm going to drive my car off of the side of this mountain, or I'm going to go to work and hurt somebody. So I made it through the mountain pass, and right now I'm in the parking lot. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go in here and hurt somebody just for no reason at all. But I ended up calling a little number on my bracelet, and they came and got me, and they had me admitted into a institutional, one of those local mental health, those mental house hospitals or whatever. So that was the scariest thing in my life, man. I'm gonna pray to God that I can remember everything that happened, because that'd be a whole episode within itself. It was like a horror movie in there. But we're sitting in the mandatory group therapy, and I'm listening to everybody's problems, and I'm like, man, y'all problems ain't got nothing to, like, on me. It's like, I was like, there's an answer for everything that y'all are saying. Like, there's a way to get through everything that y'all are saying. But I said, but I'm running away from God. Who's gonna help me from that? And it's like, there's no medication that you can give me, nothing. I'm running away from the creator of everything, and y'all in here talking about little stuff, man. I was like, I wish I had child problems right now. But yeah, it's like I tend to want to be the counselor when I hear everybody else's problems, and just keep mine pushed down inside. And that really doesn't work, but I do it anyway.
Right. Yeah, that really does it. Some, it only thing it does is just postpone your trauma just a little bit longer. You know what
Right.
I'm saying? Because it does take your mind off of yours because you're assisting someone else's. But I'm a firm believer in energy leeches, right? So if I sit here and give you all of my energy, soaking up your issues, you know what I'm saying? Then I don't have any time to really take care of my issues. So now, not only do I have my issues, but now I have your issues on top of my issues.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and if you continue to do that, then it's like you keep burying your stuff down, down, down until you get to that breaking point where you're either going to explode. You know what I'm saying? It's either you're going to release it or you're going to explode. And nine
Right.
times out of 10, it's going to be an explosion.
I would say 10 times out of 9 is going to be an explosion. That's just me.
Okay. 10 out of 9, got you.
10 out
Your
of
math
9.
ain't mathing too much, but I
Hey,
understand where you're coming from.
is that serious? But yeah, and I know recently, like, you experienced like one of the heaviest losses that you probably experienced your lifetime. And I experienced mine earlier in life, and that was with the death of my sister. And from 14 years old to, I'm now 42, I carried that. And even though the detectives finally came to my mother's house and said, okay, well, we know who did it, but he was killed 2 years later, whatever, I still kind of carry some of that anger. And I know I'm supposed to, like, forgive and let go, but I still carry so much anger of not knowing who did it, going to or knowing who did it, but trying to figure out why you did it in the first place. And so it's like, I still kind of struggle with that. And I can't look at my photo album without getting teary eyed sometimes. So a lot of times what I do, I try to drown myself in other things so I don't have to think about it as much. But it still affects me, because I think about, well, what would my life be like if my sister was still here?
Right.
And yes, dude, that was crazy. And then on top of that, later on down the line, I get kicked out of a church. So that's another trauma right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't know they kicked me out
I
of
remember
church.
that. And
Yeah.
still to this day, I've never heard of anyone other than you being kicked out of a church
That's what I'm
before.
saying. So when people tell me stuff, I'm like, man, I've been through what you've been through. But have you got kicked out of a church, though? Like, yeah, I'm up. But yeah, and that still affects me to this day. I really don't go to church like I know I should. because I don't want to get caught back up into being dedicated and, and something happens and next, get kicked out again.
Right,
That's
because that's one place where you feel like all is welcome, and then to
right.
be told, oh yeah, all is welcome except for you. So I can imagine, how that feels. Like we're all not perfect, knowing what transpired that led up to them dismissing you from the church. That should have been the main thing for them to embrace you
Right.
instead of dismiss you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like God is all about forgiveness and healing and, trying to, be. What's the word that I'm looking for? But, trying to be your best you. You know what I'm saying? And if you see that I am falling and stumbling, you know what I'm saying? Then you, as the pastor, you, as the members of the congregation, see me as, your brother, your sister. You're supposed to be able to help uplift me, not kick me while I'm down or shun me. Like,
Right.
come on.
Yeah, I think that's
But
a
that's why a lot of people are more spiritual than religious. You know what I'm saying?
exactly.
So, man, that's traumatic within itself, indeed.
Right. And I think a lot of times when stuff like this happen, not just with church, but a lot of times when people are hurt, the ones that they should be able to go to for shelter from whatever pain they're going through, they're not reliable. They're because sometimes they can be dealing with their own hurt, but nobody tells anybody when they're hurting. So it's just like hurt people hurting people, but wanting to get help. And that's a hard thing that I think we have to, that's a hard thing for us as as a society to figure out like how to not do that, because there's always going to be somebody hurting and there's always going to be somebody that just came out of something. So I think we got to figure that out as a people.
I agree, because I could sit here and question why I've been through so many things that I've been through, why I've been hurt, why I had to suffer from, the abuse that I received and everything like that.
Right.
And I could sit here and ask why all day long, but I know that through the different traumas that I've been through, it has been able to enable me to help others who are experiencing the same thing. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? Because some people be like, well, you just don't understand. You haven't been there. It's like, well, I do, because I have. You know
Right.
what I'm saying? Like, to just piggyback on that situation, I know that when I was younger, it was this girl I grew up with, and she was being molested. And she was scared to tell her mom, and because she didn't think her mom was gonna believe her because she wasn't getting the best treatment from her mother anyway.
Right.
And she was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna kill myself because I can't do this anymore. I'm not strong enough to handle this. And she really was like at that point, but knowing that, I've been through something similar. And I was able to, even though I was a kid still myself, I was older than her, but I was still able to let her know, like, listen, you can get through this. You're not alone. And if you need somebody to talk to, you need me to talk with you with your mom or whatever, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, but one thing you don't need to do is kill yourself. It's too
Right.
many people out here fighting to live for you to just, do something that drastic. Especially when you can get over this. Like, trust and believe, the situation is a bad situation, but we can get out of this situation.
Right.
So, but to this day, thankfully, she didn't do it. She's married now. She got about five kids. And you know what I'm saying? And the guy, her stepfather, he ended up getting arrested. And
Wow.
hopefully, he's still in prison now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and it's a shame we had to take other measures in order for her to be able to get justice, because like I said, her mom was not the best. So, we had You know, sometimes when they say talk to your teacher, talk to a counselor, they really do help. You know, they really will try to, some of them I know anyway, will really try to help save you, help rescue you. You know,
Right.
some, like I said, closed mouths don't get fed. People don't know that you're hurting or what you're going through if you don't say anything.
Right. I just wonder how many mothers knew about it but just chose not to say anything about it. Because that's another thing, like I guess there's like a Stockholm syndrome to where men would treat women a certain way, and then they drill it into that woman's head that she's nothing without him. And you know, whenever he does something that's wrong and she gets mad, he reverses it back on her and making it seem like it was her fault for his actions. And then like, so if he is touching that little girl or going into her daughter's room at night or whatever, and then her daughter comes and tell her, she's gonna be like, "You better shut up and stop lying because that's a good man." And now here you have a broken little girl growing up into today's society. And like you said, well, they're either suicidal or they may branch off into sleeping with other women, woman on woman, sleeping with multiple men. I mean, the list goes on. And I think that our generation is the generation to kind of bridge the gap on that, because we're like at a we're we were born in the 80s, so we had the points where we was coming out the 70s, the 60s, and the 70s with the whole crack thing, and then we were pretty much the technology age. We're the ones that experienced internet for the first time, and we grew into that. And now you have these younger people out here that's just lost. And they're not listening to the older people, and the older people not listening to the younger people. But I think that's probably on us to, you know, kind of fix that before we leave this planet.
And you know what's sad? I read a report, and this was some odd years ago. This is back in like maybe the early 2000s, right? And it was about child abuse and sexual assault and everything against children. And out of they, you know, spoke to these mothers, right? To try to see what percentage actually knew something was going on, right? And it's crazy that 42% of the mothers knew that their child, whether male or female, was being sexually abused. Now, that's scary.
It is.
That is
It is.
scary because it's 42% of mothers knew that their child was being sexually abused, and only half did something about it.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, and it's and it could be for numerous factors on why they chose not to do anything. It's been cases where the person who is doing the abuse to the child could be like the father, or could be the mother's boyfriend, or you know, the mother's significant other, and they are the primary breadwinner. You know what I'm saying? And they don't want to lose that because they don't have anything else going. Or they could be, you know, mentally, verbally, or physically abusive to the mother as well. You know what I'm saying? And so she feel like she's lost, and now there's nothing else that she can do. And then it's some other mothers who actually pimp out their children.
Yeah,
They will literally,
we
the
got to
man's
shed
like, I'm
light
not
on
leaving
that.
unless I get some of this. You know, she's
Exactly.
right. It's time. You know, and it's sad to know that the person who gave you life is the one who is helping destroy it. You know, like when I read that, I was just like, wow. Like, wow. And then, like, when it comes to like trauma in general, whether it's physical, verbal, mental. People always like, well, you should be healed by now if something happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Oh, you should be healed by now. Like, number one, who gave you that authority to tell me when I should and should not be healed? You know, everyone goes at their own level, number one. And number two, trauma is something that's gonna last with you forever. You know, you may have been able to cope with it better. You may be able to, you know, heal from it. And I'm doing air quotes. I wish you could see. You could be able to heal from it, but it's still gonna be there. It's a scar that's permanent.
Exactly,
And
because
some people don't realize that. And all to all the people who never had to experience any type of trauma, awesome. I'm happy for you. But for people like me and for others who have, like, you can't sit here and expect me to move like you move if you never move like I had to move. And that's the one of the things that bothers me the most.
I feel you.
If
And
you
this is
expect for
like,
me to heal in your time and not my own time.
it's just like, when I was younger, I was molested. And that I didn't really know what was going on. And I was like, yo, why is this happening to me? I didn't even know what molestation was till later on in the years. That's a dangerous thing because it caused me to do to somebody else what somebody did to me. And it's like it's a chain that needs to be broken. It's something that shouldn't is I get to the point to where I like when my kids were little, I wouldn't let them be in the room long. I wouldn't let them be in the room long, too long. They had company, I would keep checking on them. Like, because I don't want what happened to me to happen to them, especially at that age. So, and it's like, I still deal with a lot of that, man. I feel like disgusted. And that was one of the things I wrote down in my notes because I know you said, oh, just take notes. So I wrote notes like how to deal with childhood trauma as an adult because we didn't get to do it when we was younger. And now, like I'm up in my age, and it's like like everything is pretty much slowed down as far as like the growing pains and everything. So now all I do is have time to reflect on a lot. And if I could go back and undo it, I would, but I can't. But it also made me into the person that I am today. So there's a good thing that came out of it. But yes. It's crazy. I
Oh,
can't
definitely.
yeah. 'Cause I remember I
Like,
listened to you did podcast on molestation, and that right there just took me back.
yeah. Because just think about it, like when it comes to especially childhood molestation and rape and everything. One out of every third person has been or will be. That's a high number.
It is.
You know, and for so long, it has been like swept under the table. Everybody got that, you know, little nasty uncle you can't go sit on lap, or everybody got, you know, that, you know, one cousin who, you know, look at you too hard, or like wanna peek on you while you're in the shower type thing, you know. And it's just like, you know, we know that they like that, so it's just watch yourself around them. That's the whole mindset that it used to be, and it's just like that shouldn't be the case. Like, we can't keep sweeping this stuff under the rug. At some point, like, that's a true generational curse that needs to be broken, you know. And I know, like, you know, going through my experience, it lasted from the time that I was 5 until I was 11 years old. You know what I'm saying? That's a long time
It is.
to be violated on an almost daily basis, you know, and to feel like no one's there to help you, even though you're around tons of people.
Right.
But you feel like no one is there to help you. And for a long time, like that really was messing with my mental. You know, it put me in a mind state of I was scared of dudes. I was not trying to be around men like that as much as I can help it, because at the end of the day, I felt like if a man asks you for it and if you don't give it to him, he's going to take it from you anyway. You know, and that leads to a lot of, you know, promiscuity and everything else when it comes to you know, teens, whether male or female, you know. And when you get older, like you said, your growing pains are done and you get time to reflect on life. And it made me realize that for a long time, I felt like I was broken.
I
You
feel you.
know, I felt damaged. I felt like, you know, I did not deserve to be happy. I felt like I did not deserve a good man, because what good man wants this damaged, broken woman? You know what I'm saying? So that also let me see what type of choices I was making in men. I didn't make the best choices. I think I went the safer route rather than what I truly deserve, because I'm a good one and I was not getting what I deserve because I felt like they didn't deserve someone who's damaged. You know, so it took me to go through two major things happen in order for me to be able to have that breakthrough. Me and my mom, I didn't tell her what happened to me. I did not tell her until 2019. Okay, this is 2024. I did not tell her until 2019 what happened to me, because I felt like if I did and she knew the person who did it, it would kill her. So I did not want to tell her. But I met with a therapist and I was talking to this therapist and told the therapist, you know, it's like sometimes it's better to talk to people who don't know you. And people who don't agree with the therapy must never have tried it, because I tell you, soon as this woman said hey to me, and I was like hello, and then I just started crying. I promise you, I just started
Hell
crying. I know
no.
she's so used to it. She's just like, just take your time. You know, and then I was able to just spill out everything, you know, just how I'm feeling and everything. And it was good to just, you know, have that outlet, because if anybody who knows me knows I'm like the rock. Everybody comes to me for everything. And I feel like I have no one to go to when I need to talk. So having this outside party just listen to me and hear me. Because that's my whole thing. I feel like I'm not heard. And she literally heard me, you know. And then she was like, you need to tell your mom. If you want me to do it with you, I can, but you need to tell your mom. So we had a little long trip from Miami to Delaware. So I'm like, okay, well, on this little 19-hour ride, let's have to talk. You know, and then I told her everything, and when I did, I felt that weight lifted off of me. You know what I'm saying? It was really freeing, but I didn't want that weight to be on her now, because I know how my mom, I'm just like her. So I know she was soaking it, it's hers, you know, and I just had to let her know, this is not your fault. So do not take that, because we've been protecting this person and they are the one who is to blame. You know what I'm saying? So you don't take none of it. This was all on them. So that having that breakthrough moment with the therapist and then telling my mom, it really freed me. And then I'm just like, you know what? You know, you gotta look in the mirror at yourself like, what was I thinking? Damn right you worth it. You worth the moon and everything else. Like, girl, stop downplaying who you are, and you know, because of something that you had no control over. You know, so you know, I'm too hot to trot now. Can't tell me nothing. I know I'm not damaged. I know I'm not broken.
Oh man, we just gotta get the penis pics to stop
You
and you'll be
know
good to go.
what? I would say
Does that, you
yes.
know what? Speaking of that, is that like a trigger? Like, does that trigger some of those things that happened to you when you were smaller? I
No.
never thought about this. I just
You
wanted
know
to ask.
what? That did not. What triggers me is if I see the person, whether in person or through a picture or on video or something, if I see the person who did it, that triggers me. If I see and I just don't like seeing like older men with like little girls. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just be looking like, do you really know him? Like, what's going on? I like to this day, like my nieces, I'd be like, they're like, oh, I'm going to my friend's house. I'm like, who lives there? It's like, do they have any older brothers? Do they have any cousins that live there? Like, I need to know the whole layout before I'd be like, okay, you can go. Or my father said I can go. Or my, I don't care. I don't care who told you you can go. I'm gonna make sure that it's, clear in order for me to go. 'Cause I trust no one around younger kids, you know what I'm saying? So like, and even and this may sound crazy, but even things as simple as wrestling is a trigger.
And that was weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
Awkward
But re
moment, so
wrestling
tell it
is a
like it
trigger.
T.I. is.
I'm telling you, wrestling is a trigger for me. Watching WWE, because it used to take place during wrestling. You know what I'm
Got you.
saying? So that's a
Got
trigger
you.
for me. And what's so crazy is, like, I used to have like the nightmares used to come on a regular basis and everything. And so once I, came to a better place, though they stopped unless something triggering happens. But I was in a relationship, and I'm about to get a little personal. So I was, we had a conversation, and I'm like, we work different hours, right? And so I'm like, well, when you come home from work, why don't you won't be trying to get none? You know what I'm saying? Because hey, I'd be ready, but I might be asleep when I wake up. And he was like, it's been times where you've been asleep. And I tried to, he said, but then he was like, in your sleep, like you're still sleeping, but you'll be fighting for dear life in your sleep if I try to touch you. He was like, you'll be swinging on me. He was like, it was been some times where you actually started crying and I had to try to comfort you. And I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? He was like, after that, he said, I stopped trying while you're asleep. I'm like, I make sure you're wide awake. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't even realize that, I was bringing, I thought I was, like I said, healed from my trauma. And all the time, I'm bringing that into my new relationship when we each, when we're trying to be intimate. And I don't even know. I thought that was crazy. And, he could have been like, you know what? I can't deal with this type of mess or whatever. But, he knew what I went through. So he was more, he understood and everything. But the fact that that was even going on and my subconscious was on fight or flight, you know what I'm saying? Mode. So it's crazy.
That is wow. I would have never thought that. Matter of fact, no, I can't say never because I know someone else who was real defensive in their sleep, and I can see what you're, I can see what you're saying. It's like you just, and it can be. You're not even touching them in a sexual manner. It's just a touch, period, without expecting it. It's like it's not something that you were expecting. So that, I see how that could be a trigger as well.
Now, have you ever confronted the person who molested you?
Nope. And here's the crazy thing though. And this takes me to something else I want to talk about. I don't feel I need to. I told two people in my life what happened to me. One was my older sister, may God rest her soul. And two is my younger sister. Those only two people I ever told. And she was like, oh, so that's why this person always gets mad or upset when your name comes up. It's like out of nowhere, you just automatically get mad when your name comes up. Like, but yeah. For me, it's weird, man, because I feel like I should be the person to be like, nah, you did this. I'm this way, like this. And I feel like by all rights, I should feel that way, but I don't. And that kind of throws me two ways because it's like, am I that messed up? Or is it that God won't allow me to feel it? He won't allow me to feel it. And in turn, I take that and I still internalize it, but I'm able to help somebody else talk through it on their end. I never wanted to confront the person, but I know in my younger years that because of what happened, it caused me to be promiscuous into like my 12, 13, 14-year-old age where I was all over the place, male and female. It's like I just dabbled. And then I was with older women that could literally go to jail for messing with me. I was 16 in a bathroom getting head from like somebody that had to be about 50, 60 years old. Like, and I'm 16 and she's in there. She was giving me head and she'll stop, hit her crack pipe, and then continue. And that is for no 16-year-old to be going through, man, at all. Some people may have went through it and they see it as like a badge of honor, but I don't really see it that way. I went through a lot, all because of what happened to me. And it's like it kind of like spiraled out of control, but I do thank God that I was able to pull myself back and into focus. But no, I never wanted to confront him, and I still don't. And the thing about it is, I ain't even mad. I'm not even mad about it. I just let it go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Deep.
Commend
Real
you for
deep.
that.
Shit. But it did have some, it did play a part in like my first marriage. It was like, because I had unresolved things, I really didn't, what's the word I want to say? I didn't mesh with my wife on the level that I should have. Because I got to a point, especially after my sister passed away, got to a point where I didn't want to get close to anybody anymore. Because people that get closer, they die. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or they do something to hurt you, and it's like that's crazy. Like, spent 10 years with a woman and we had three kids, and she deserved better than what I was giving her. And she didn't have to tell me, I knew it. But you know, it's a shame that it wasted 10 years of both of our lives. Wasn't a complete waste. We got three children. Two of them are grown now and one in high school. But it affected us, and it affected us to the point to where when we separated, you know, she took the kids, and now I'm not in my kids' life like I should have been. But these, like, you wouldn't think that something so little could affect something so big. But then there's that butterfly effect. Like, a butterfly flaps its wings in Kansas and there's a tornado in North Carolina. It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Now I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulder.
You're living in your truth. That's what
Somebody's truth.
that is.
And
You know,
I
I
think one
can't
of
say
the
I'm as
things that
strong as you, though. I haven't got to, I haven't got to that point. I'm at the point where I did confront that person, and they were acting like I was speaking a foreign language, like they don't know what I'm talking about, like that never happened, never took place, and everything. But I knew they knew because you could tell the anger they start to, you know, develop. And it was to the point where they was like, you know, I hate you, you're dead to me, and all the stuff like that. And I'm just like, well, I'm fine with that. That does not bother me. You know, what bothered me was accountability. Now, if will they ever take accountability? I
Probably
doubt.
not.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't know why it at one point it meant so much to me that they acknowledged what they did to me. You know what I'm saying? Like it almost was not, it wasn't giving me peace. It wasn't giving me like anything. I'm like, you need to acknowledge what you did to me. And you need to say I'm sorry. But I knew that was wishful thinking because they don't even acknowledge that it ever have even happened. You know what I'm saying? So I know it was wishful thinking, but like I believe in karma. And karma is kicking his ass right now. Kicking his ass in the worst ways. And I'm just like, okay, I'm not mad at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, can I still be in the same room with this person? I choose not to.
Yeah,
I
and that's
choose not to be
okay.
around that person. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. But something, and it's crazy because, to touch on something most recent happened, I had a family member pass away, and everybody's going back down to, you know, my hometown, and he had a big old, you know, big funeral and everything for him and everything. And so I knew I was gonna go, you know, pay my respects, and then I was looking at a video. They went live at like a park where they had like a little celebration for him. And I was looking at the video, and one of the first people, well, the first person that I saw in that video was my tormentor. And when I saw him, and I just remember, oh, it's a family event. You know what I'm saying? Like it clicked to me, he's gonna be there. And I have not spoke to them since I confronted them about the whole situation, you know. And so I'm like, number one, you don't even know how people will react to you, especially when they hate you as much as he hates me. You know what I'm saying? And then just being in that whole thing, like the very same night, one of my nightmares came back. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it triggered me, and I'm just like, I'm not going. I'm not going. And I know that a couple of my family members may have been in their feelings because I chose not to go. Like, oh, you're never gonna come around with family things and blah, 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 blah. But it's not, it wasn't even that. It was the simple fact is I just got triggered. You cannot tell me how to handle my trauma. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't, and you can't see him like, oh, you should be, you know, it shouldn't even bother you no more, it happened so many years ago, or whatever, whatever. No, you didn't do this. You didn't go through it. You cannot tell me what's okay for me and what's not okay for me. This is my life, my journey. And some people don't really, you know, understand that or get that. And so, like, for the me and that family member, or whatever, we didn't talk for, you know, a couple weeks. Because I didn't go. And I said I was triggered, but you know, it didn't affect you because you didn't go through what I went through. So it doesn't, I still don't understand why you just couldn't go. Well, you'll never understand. And Lord, hopefully you never will have to. You know what I'm saying? So no. That's the craziest thing to me.
I think that there should come a point in everyone's life who's been on the receiving end of this. I think there has to be a point where we overcome the victim mentality. Not saying that you don't deserve any kind of justice or any kind of closure for it, but you can't make yourself continue feeling this way, because you're never going to feel better unless you overcome it. So I think we need to work on transitioning from the victim mentality to a mentality of being victorious. But that's hard, because it's gonna cause you to face some things that you don't want to face. And it's easy to say, me too, like the whole me too thing. It's easy to just say me too, but you're saying me too, but what have you done to try to overcome this? What have you done to try to heal past that point? But I think that's where we need to be as everyone who's been, because there's going to be people that listen to this. And if you're listening to this, we do have a hotline. If you want to call and, share some of your story, is 844-645-8255. 844-645-8255. And I think that each one should reach one in that case. And you don't have to, and you don't necessarily have to tell all the gory details to be healed. You don't. It's okay to say a little bit. Their imagination is going to take them the rest of the way.
Yes. Like you say, when you stop becoming a victim and realize that, like I said, not only are you victorious, but you're also a survivor, you know?
Exactly.
So we're not
Exactly.
victims, we're survivors. I even went and got a tattoo when I had my coming of age, my coming out, my clarity moment. And I have a tattoo, and it says survivor, and it has the symbol for rape survivors. You know, if you've been raped or molested, there's a symbol. I swear there's a symbol for everything, right? So it's a symbol, and it has like the infinity sign, and it has like the heart, and they're being intertwined and everything. And up under it, it says survivor, because I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I made it through, and unfortunately, some people aren't strong enough to handle it, and they do through things that to stop the noises and unfortunately, like, you know, unalive themselves and stuff like that. And
Right.
so hopefully by just listening to, you know, us speak on this, you know that there are survivors out here.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like we survive this. There's plenty of others who have survived this. So you can survive this too. Don't let it get into your head to the point that there's a breaking point where you want to, you know, unalive yourself or someone else.
Right.
You know, whether you, it's different ways to be able to work on self. Self-care is the best care when it comes to mental health. I know me, I like to go to the spa. I like to meditate. Meditation is very, very good. Some people like to hit the gym. You know, I like to go look at the ocean. And I like to shop, but I'm working on that one. Because when I be like in my pillow, like, you know what, let me buy me something pretty. You know, so now I have a lot of stuff and I'm running out of space. So I'm gonna try to, you know, meditate more and shop less.
Yeah, I feel you. I need to do that gym one. It's like I get frustrated. I just do nothing. I just want to
And
sit
that's
here.
not good.
It got to the point that video games used to be my outlet, but they're not really my outlet anymore. So it's just like I just sit here. But then, there's this podcast, so I guess this can be my new outlet. So.
Yeah, and you are a very good chef. So if you feel like cooking and be like, come get some food, I'm not gonna, you know, be mad at that.
Why
So
are
if
we
that, you
spreading
know,
rumors? Why are we spreading rumors on
whatever,
this here
you know,
podcast?
that is facts. Rock City Grill, stop playing. Yes,
Oh man, I'll make you a gourmet bowl of
see about that.
ramen.
I had enough ramen in college, okay? So I don't want no more. I'm gonna need you
Man.
to do something where you're gonna put on one of the little pretty white plates or the little wood boards and stuff.
Let me tell you something. Until you actually had real ramen you're always going to feel that way. Like you have to go to a legit either Thai or Korean restaurant and get some real ramen, and it'll change your life. It
I
would
don't
change your life.
know. Now, Maria, she did her thing because every time she made us some ramen, it never tastes the same. She put some seasonings and spices and all that stuff up there. But still.
Yeah, but they're not using the 89 or the 59-cent packets of noodles. They're not using that. They're using real noodles to make your ramen.
Like
And it's
homemade, they make them from scratch.
something like that.
Something like that. Well, how would it go, sir? Since you're the expert, since you're gonna make
So
me this nice bowl of ramen.
man, they do it, man. It's crazy how they do it. I just heard a ding, so I guess time might be running short. It's like it's kind of like you would take, let's say you take spaghetti noodles, right, and you cook them, and instead of making spaghetti, you have like a broth that you made with like some herbs and spices, and then you pour that over the ramen, and then you may have a half a boiled egg sitting there. You may have some meat right there. If it's Korean, you're gonna have some kimchi. I'm salivating right now because I'm thinking about this, man. And then it's hot, and then it's like you go, and then you like drink that broth, man. Man, I'm about to go find me an Ajumma and see if she can make me some ramen.
I
It'd
was
be
about to say,
good,
so
man.
what time do I supposed to come over? When
It'd
is it
be
gonna be
good,
ready?
man.
I just gotta cross the bridge. Stop playing.
That joint be good, man. Even the cheese ramen, the basic cheese ramen, be tasting good, man. But then, because you gotta think about it, they're experts with rice and noodles. They're experts at that. So, yeah, we just if you go to the grocery store and you get the go to the international aisle, they have like the different types of ramen there. It'll be like that, but gourmet style. Because the ones they got in the grocery store is like instant. But
You know what? I thought you was about to say, yep, I go to the grocery store and buy all the materials you was gonna cook. Like, see how you just played me out right there? That's so messed up. You got me all soup for nothing.
that's funny. That is hilarious.
Boo to you. Boo to you. You're about to get excited for
That's funny.
nothing.
That is hilarious. But yeah, man. But I appreciate you coming back to the show and wanting to be a permanent member. I have to work on the graphics. I know you said so
Exactly.
when I get on the banner, and I don't
Exactly.
know.
Like, shoot, if we're gonna be official, we're gonna be straight official. I want to see my picture up there too.
Because
You know what I'm
I don't
saying?
do the graphics. My brother Andre Galato. If y'all listening to me, go Facebook, Andre Galato. He does great graphics, man.
Big ups to
Great
Andre.
graphics, man. But yeah, it's like it, but it just be on his schedule because he has other projects. So
Yeah,
I
understood.
just exercise patience, a lot of patience.
Okay, I'll just
Yeah.
blast my own portraits on the website on Facebook until, we get it official.
Now it's probably wouldn't even take them that long to like to use a current banner. And you know how on like the old radio billboards they have like the there's like four people in the radio show, they have them standing side by side or whatever. Yeah, probably make something like that with the headshots. So I
That'd
mean
be cool.
the dude makes magic, man. I think it got something to do with him and the Holy Spirit being best friends. That joint is crazy how he be doing his graphics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to send some business this way.
Yeah, exactly. And yesterday I was putting a podcast on different podcasting sites. I don't know how to monetize it, but I can share it. I can share it professionally though. But it'll get there, man. It'll get there when it gets there. If it gets there, I don't care. I'm just gonna talk about it.
Yeah. We're gonna work it out regardless, because you got the fire with you, so it's about you know when you put Two awesome people together, some awesome stuff transpires. So get
True.
ready for greatness, bro. Get
True.
ready. Yeah.
I accept that. I accept that.
Yeah. You ain't got no choice. I used to be a bully. You ain't got no choice.
Do I not know
Shut
that?
up. I was not a bully. I was just
Lord,
kidding.
that's gonna we have to talk about that on another episode.
Forever. I never bullied you. Cut it out.
I gotta confront my tormentor.
You know what? We're not gonna sit here and spread that fake and false narrative, sir. We're not gonna do that.
Man, like I do, I appreciate you and everything. I'm gonna go ahead and edit this and get it on the site. Make sure I leave all this crazy stuff in there so people know
Of course.
that like it's real.
That's the
Because
juice.
exactly. That's the broth that they put on the ramen, though. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's
I
the best
get
part, man.
it.
That's the best part, man.
Now it makes sense. Got
Sheesh.
you. Got you.
Exactly.
But you
That's
know
what I'm
what? Real talk,
saying.
they got a ramen bar to just open up around here not too far. And then you're going to make me go try it out.
Hey, go try it. Go try it. There's a Korean corn dog stand or corn dog restaurant somewhere near here. I think it's like 30 minutes from where I'm at. I need to go try that out. They make like hella different types of corn dogs.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
See, when I was down that area, if you would have answered the phone and I sent me the voicemail, then send me a text. I can't stand when people do that. I do
Man,
that all the time
I was
though.
watching a movie with my mother.
Y'all was at the movie theater.
Look, man, that's semantics. Don't even worry about where we
If you
was at.
weren't
Just
at the
know a
movie
movie
theater.
was being watched.
Well, if you was out
Just
to talk to me.
a
So I don't even want to hear it. So I
movie
take that
was
as a
being
no.
watched, and that would have been rude. Just like if I would have been in the theater, whether I'm in the theater or not, all cell phones should be put on vibrate or silent. You know what I'm saying? Don't be pulling out your cell phone during a movie because it's going to interfere with somebody else's movie experience, man.
Look, you could act like you were going to the bathroom.
But I didn't have to pee though, so now I'm be lying to
You don't.
myself.
You make me sick. You make me sick, but anyway, it's fine. We gonna work it out.
Yeah, we will.